Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Many people are asking the question, what is the spiritual significance of the blood moon, the lunar eclipse that will appear this Purim, and also on the April 8th solar eclipse? Is there any spiritual significance, or is the world just going crazy over nothing? Hi, I'm Dr. Michelle Correll, and I've been speaking to you for over 7 years about the spiritual significance of blood moons on biblical feasts. Join me today because we are entering a time of biblical prophecy fulfilled. Though so many are captivated by the fact that there have been recent lunar eclipses and solar eclipses, and we have been brought to a place in time that we are asking, because of the continuous escalation of events, not only in the land of Israel, but around the world. The world events have reached a place of astronomical biblical fulfillment, such as we have never seen before in human history. So we ask the question, what is the spiritual significance of a blood moon, of a lunar eclipse? Are they all signs? And I want to address that issue with you today, just for a moment. First of all, let's begin with a question. Are all biblical signs lunar eclipses and solar eclipses? And how do I know it's not just a whole lot of fanaticism and people becoming overwhelmed with lunar eclipses, solar eclipses, and signs in the stars? First of all, beloved saints, let's begin with biblical fact. Let's begin with our Lord himself, who told us in Luke chapter 21, verse 25, how to specifically identify the signs of the end, the time when the era of the Gentiles would come to an end. Looking at verse 25, the Bible says, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, upon the heavens, upon the earth, distress of nations and perplexities and waves of the sea roaring. Jesus himself told us to look for these signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and the heavens. He told us specifically to look for perplexity in the earth and waves of the sea roaring, meaning there will be tsunamis, and there will also be hurricanes. So what is the spiritual significance of signs in the sun and in the moon? First of all, we need to get a little more specific. This is not ambiguous. This is very, very easy to detect. Jesus, first of all, told us to look in the sun. He told us to look in the moon. He told us to look in the stars. He also told us, beloved saints, that we should understand that there will be perplexity on the earth and waves of the sea roaring, tsunamis, hurricanes of astronomical proportion, such as Hurricane Haiyun that took place in 2013, which I believe was the beginning of a seven-year period that begins a sequence of patterns in the heavens that begin to appear. Now, first of all, let's get even more biblically technical when we look at the signs in the heavens. The Bible tells us in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. I also want you to know that a reliable witness, a testimonial, a piece of evidence that we need here from the heavens, that means that the witnesses are going to agree. The Bible says to us, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word of God be established. So we need to understand that if the heavens are going to declare the glory of the Lord, Every entity that God is using as a witness must agree. There cannot be confusion. There cannot be a confusion in the testimonial evidence that is going to proclaim a message of end times that Jesus said will appear in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. We are also taking our evidence based upon Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3. Let us draw a format, a foundation by which we can base our facts. First of all, we're looking at Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Let there be lights in the firmament to divide the day from the night. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, let them be for otot, for signs, and for moedim, for seasons, for days, and for years. Remember, saints, when we are presenting a case, we must present the burden of proof. And so the burden of proof must be established by evidence. Today, I'm going to show you testimonial evidence based on books in the Bible that proclaim what is happening now in end times. So we're looking at Genesis. So before we present to you the evidence that is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, concerning the sun and the moon and how they are going to be entities to declare the glory of the Lord, we must see exactly what the Bible teaches must be the specific regulations, if you will, that are going to be the criteria by which we know this is authentic evidence. Not every blood moon is a sign. Not every solar eclipse is a sign. These specific otot, these specific signs, must have a pattern and they must follow the biblical way that demands to prove to us that these are authentic. The Bible says, let them be for otot, which are signs, which are evidences, which are witnesses, which are also warnings. Let them be for signs and for seasons. Seasons are not weather conditions, as you have heard me say for many, many years. Signs and seasons, this word seasons is the word moedim. So this means we must have some Torah understanding or some understanding in the context of Hebrit what these seasons are. These seasons, this word moedim, is the same word as biblical feasts. These are divine meeting times with God. So this means that the Lord is saying, when there is an activity that is in the moon, that is like a warning, like a sign, it must occur on a biblical feast. When we see a solar eclipse, it must appear on a biblical feast in order for it to have spiritual relevance, or not just a biblical feast, signs and seasons, but also can be a specific date of fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And this is extremely important for our analysis, not to be fanatics, and to be able, not that anybody is a fanatic, but for the world when they evaluate our signs, wonders, and miracles that we see happening in the heavens, we have valid, legitimate evidence that cannot be denied, evidence that demands a decision. Are you with me, saints? All right. So first we have seen from Luke chapter 21, verse 25, Jesus tells us specifically, in the moon, the sun, and the stars will be our evidence of end times. Secondly, we see that this is also guaranteed in the book of Psalms, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 3, that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the firmament speaketh forth of his handiwork, shows his handiwork. Then we go to the book of Genesis, which begins a series of patterns, an order, a Seder in creation. Now, beloved saints, I want you to understand that Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 begins time as we know it on the earth. Why? Because it is the day that God created the sun, God created the moon. Without the sun and the moon, we have no time on earth. We get our years from the time that the Earth makes its revolution around the sun. 365 days calculates a year. And we also get our 24-hour periods from the moon. So it's very important that we see for signs and for seasons. Secondly, the moon and the sun were created for days and for years. Now, beloved saints, I want you to understand that all dates in the Bible are the dates on the biblical calendar. This is the calendar God created for Israel with dates that define destiny. It is so important that we know that. Man did not calculate this calendar. It came from God as a mitzvah. It came from God as a commandment. He said in Exodus 12, verse 2, "This, Zeh, shall be the beginning of the months to you. It is the first month of the year unto you." Unto you means God gave it as a gift. This means that there are times of great grace, times of great outpouring, times of great visitation. This is why, beloved saints, the Bible says that when God created these two lights in the firmament, the Bible says, as we see here in Genesis 1:14, verse 14, says, God said, "Let the lights in the firmament be in the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for otot, for signs, and for moedim, and for yomim, for days, and for years." So we need to understand this is very, very important. Secondly, is for days and for years. First is the biblical feasts. Now, why is that so important? And how do we know that it must be on a biblical feast? How do we know we're not misinterpreting the scripture? How do we know that this is valid? How do we know that this assumption is correct? And that this is one of the ways we interpret a valid lunar eclipse, a valid solar eclipse. Because we look at context. Now, beloved saints, I don't want to become so hermeneutical for you that the average person loses the depth of these powerful signs. We want to be supernatural, but we do not want to be sensational. All right, there is a huge difference. Supernatural means I'm confirming it with scripture. Supernatural means you don't have to get sensational in order for the Bible to be supernatural, because every page in this Bible is supernatural. And God can confirm his word with supernatural backup from his word. But many of us want only the sensational. We don't want any scripture. We just want to get hyped up. And we just want to say, wow, I see this lunar eclipse. Wow, I see this solar eclipse. So now the Lord must be coming. Let's just go for it. And we fall on our face because we have no scriptural evidence to back it up. And we really don't understand what that sign means. We've taken it only for the sensational. Today, if you will allow me, and if you will just hear the word of the Lord, you will see that God doesn't need 1,000 signs to back his word, that his word has already been spoken and he has already established the validity of otot, signs, and seasons, days, and years. He has already established in the book of Genesis. Let's look at that. We begin with Genesis chapter 1, and we are going to see one of the objectives of Moses in the creation story is to establish that the biblical feasts are before time. I want you to see how he does this. He does this with a very unique literary device. If you follow with me, we will see in verses 1 through 13, three biblical feasts that he is showing us that are before time, because time doesn't begin for us until the 14th, verse 14, until the fourth day of creation when God created the sun and the moon. So we see prior to the sun and the moon, we are going to see that there are many events that take place in the creation story that actually connect to biblical feasts, showing us that God ordained the events of biblical feasts before time. He inscribed it in creation. He inscribed Passover in the creation story. He inscribed in the creation story the feast of Passover, the feast of Shavuot, and the feast of Sukkot, feast of tabernacles. He inscribed the three what we call Shalosh Ragalim, which are shown to us in the biblical calendar before time. This is so important, meaning that these feasts, God already had miracles in mind on the days of these feasts. These feasts were ordained for times of visitation, times of impartation, times when God would show great signs in the earth and wonders in the heavens. Let us look. The Bible begins. Let us look in verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let them divide waters from waters. And God made a firmament and divide the waters from the waters. And under the firmament from the waters, hallelujah, he divided that which was from above. Verse 8, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered into one place, and let dry land appear, and it was so. Now, let me tell you how to interpret this. First of all, when you see a phrase such as, let dry land appear, or you see a phrase, divide waters from the waters, you and I must take those phrases and ask the question, where have we heard these words before? And you will notice at the Red Sea, waters were divided from the waters. And the Bible is very clear that Moses takes the words from Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. He caused the waters to be divided from the waters, and the explicit expression, dry land appeared, and the children of Israel walked on the dry land. To you and I as Westerners, this doesn't mean much, but in Hebrew, it means everything. This is called, in biblical hermeneutics, Gezrah Shavah. A Gezrah Shavah is an explicit expression where I take one portion of scripture, that is a phrase, and I match it explicitly with another portion of scripture. So we have seen that these words were used at the Red Sea by Moses when the waters were divided from the waters. This means that God spoke on the second day of creation his eternal word into the waters. He already framed from the word that he spoke that they will separate when Moses stretched his staff over the sea. It wasn't just Moses that separated the water from the water. It was the word of God already commanded into the water that God created on the second day of creation. So that Moses just activated the word that was already in the waters. Now, I want you to understand something, saints. This is Passover. I want you to understand, during the 7 days of unleavened bread, the children of Israel left on Nisan 15, they left Egypt, and they came during those 7 days that we call the 7 days of Passover or unleavened bread. They came to the Red Sea. This was already encoded in the creation story. Now, if we continue in the context systematically, if we see the next biblical feast on the calendar systematically encoded inside Genesis, then we will understand that Moses is building a case. Let us look and continue in the context. The Bible says, as we see in verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and it was so. And God said, let the earth bring forth the grass, the herb-yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself, and it was so. I want you to see the spiritual significance of verse 13. It's magnificent. I want you to see the Bible said, and God said, let the earth bring forth the grass, herb-yielding seed. Now, if this is indeed a case, then we have to see the next biblical feast after Passover in divine order in the Seder of creation. And we actually see that wheat belongs to the grass family. If you were to look in the context of the botanical sciences, you would understand that wheat is a grass technically. When God said, let the earth bring forth the grass, the herb-yielding seed, this literally translates in Hebrew as sprouted grain. So we see that the Bible is showing us on the third day of creation came up sprouted grain. What does that mean? I want you to understand, beloved saints, that the Feast of Shavuot is in the third month on the biblical calendar. And on the third day of creation, what came up from the earth first was wheat. It was first fruits. I want you to understand what the Bible is teaching us. So we have Passover in verses 6 through 9. We have Shavuot in verse 13. Are you following me? Moses is developing a case before time that the Shalosh Ragalim and the biblical feasts are not in the time clock of this world. They are before time. This means they have the origin in the Olam, in eternity. That means that what God ordained to happen as works of salvation and redemption already were declared in those feasts before time began. Let us look at part B of verse 13. If this indeed is the case that Moses is building, then the next of the three Shalosh Ragalim, which is Pesach or Passover, Shavuot, which is Pentecost, and the third one, which is Sukkot or Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles would be the next feast. Notice how before time, verse 13 says, and let the earth bring forth the grass, the herb-yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind. One of the signs of the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot is the fruit tree. God commanded in the Torah in Leviticus 23, verse 40, you will take branches of goodly trees and wave them before the Lord your God on the first day of the feast. Do you realize, saints, you have Passover, Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. You have Shavuot or Pentecost, the Feast of First Fruits, and that is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 13, part A of the verse. Then you have the third of the Shalosh Ragalim. You have Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. Why is Moses building this case? Why is there such an emphasis on biblical feasts? It is because he wants us to know on the fourth day of creation, the reason why he created the sun and the moon is they are going to be witnesses. They are going to be witnesses in the heavens. They are going to declare the glory of the Lord. They are going to announce for God. They were already inscribed in God's creation. God commanded them to do so. So you must understand, God already commanded that they will obey. They will show forth signs in the heavens during the Moedim, during the feasts. I pray today this was a blessing for you. Beloved saints, the blood moons and the solar eclipses that have taken place over the past 10 years are not to be lightly esteemed. The first sign in the heavens was 2013 on Hanukkah, a tremendous sign in the heavens before the greatest natural disaster in human history hit the Philippines, Hurricane Haiyan, which caused 7,000 miles of damage. I want you to know that this tetrad of blood moons in April of 2014, and then Sukkot in 2014, and then we see in 2015 on Rosh Chodesh Nisan a solar eclipse, not a coincidence, and then another portion of the tetrad in Passover of 2015, a blood moon, Sukkot another blood moon in 2015. And then to close the events of 7 years, seven signs for 7 years, we have at 2017, on Rosh Chodesh Elul, the day on the biblical calendar that calls all men to repentance, the day on the biblical calendar that God demands that we prepare ourselves with repentance. We see that this was the solar eclipse across the United States. And what happened at that time, corresponding with that solar eclipse, was Hurricane Harvey. And short after that, on Rosh Hashanah, the exact date, the greatest disaster that we've seen in the Caribbean in years was that that great disaster that was Hurricane Irma, Hurricane Maria, beloved, that caused so much damage. I want you to know today that God is the God of the impossible, and He is here for you. Beloved saints, today is the day. If you have never made Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, Yeshua HaMashiach, He is the fulfillment of every biblical prophecy. I want you to raise your hands right now and receive Him into your heart. It's not too late. Signs are happening, but we have security. And we also need to know this is the time of greatest revival in the earth. Right now in this ministry, we are seeing revival across the continent of Africa. Thousands of pastors are convening all over Africa, in Uganda, in Kenya, and now we're off to South Sudan. We want you to join us in this great revival. Say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I surrender to you. I understand this is end times, but be the best friend I have ever had. Wash me clean from my sins. I repent. I want to know you, Jesus. Reveal yourself to me. I want to make you the Lord of my life and my dearest friend. I surrender my life to you. Use me, Jesus, for your glory. Wash me free from every sin, from every addiction. Wash me like a new creature. Make me a new creation in your love. I trust you now to be my Savior by faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Don't forget to join us this week, beloved saints, and our announcer will tell you how to support this telecast.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com. where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.